The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning. My name is Linda Weaver. I'm president of the Board of Trustees. And welcome from Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, or located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. For those of you on Zoom, thanks to the magic of the internet and our wonderful tech team back there, we're also as close as your home. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated, like Thomas Paine was, to challenging the mind, nurturing the spirit, and transforming the world. Wherever you are on your journey, wherever you are on your life journey, your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our circle of compassion and caring. Now, if this is your first time, welcome. If you've been here before, you've heard us say this before. But we have a very interesting service today, and every week we have something new and different. For those of you who are new, we're a small congregation. We have a part-time minister, so half of our services are led by our minister, and half of them are led by our congregation with guest speakers. And today, let me tell you, I'm going to introduce you to a my very favorite prothonotary, Noah Marlier. Well, what can I say about Noah? I'm going to read you his official bio. And then, because I know Noah so well, later on in the service, I'm going to give you the Linda Weaver bio of Noah. Noah Marlier, the elected Montgomery County prothonotary, leads a 27-person office that processes the majority of civil filings for the county's courts. Noah is proud to serve the over 850,000 people of Montgomery County, adhering to efficient and ethical practices. Inspired by his upbringing in the Germantown Unitarian Universalist Church, he's committed to helping the community through his work and is a frequent speaker on landlord-tenant matters and the eviction crisis and domestic violence awareness and prevention, as well as LGBTQ plus rights. And again, I'll give you the official Linda Weaver description later on in the service. So now we're going to light our chalice, and Preston will light the chalice while I share some chalice lighting words that I'm calling, "We Light This Chalice as a Beacon of Hope." As we gather this day, we light this chalice as a beacon of hope, reflecting our commitment to the principles of our faith. May its light remind us of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, guiding us to honor diverse voices and ensure equality for all. In our pursuit of justice, let this flame symbolize our dedication to create a world that embraces compassion, where our decisions reflect the interdependent web of all existence. Let us strive to be a community of accountability and transparency, guided by reason and the courage to act on our convictions. As this chalice burns brightly, does it? Oh, yes. May it inspire us to govern wisely, fostering understanding and respect for every perspective, so that together we can build a future of peace, equity, and love. And now we're going to light the peace lamp with the following words. May peace be with us. Okay, thank you, Preston. Our gathering song today is called "Here We Have Gathered," performed by the First Unitarian Church of Baltimore. I'm especially fond of the second verse. "Here we have gathered, called to celebrate the days of our lifetime, matters small and great." Okay, one thing I forgot to mention is that today is Brunch Sunday, so if you're new to the fellowship, please stay after the service. Today's service is intentionally going to be a little bit shorter. Preston and I have another engagement at 1, so we'll be leaving at 12:30, so we'd like to get our brunch started a little bit earlier if we can. So at this time, we're going to have our, I don't know if our children want to stay or go, so let's do our recessional. It's up to them. So Jerry, do you want to start us off?
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
Okay, that takes us to our guest speaker, the main attraction today. Noah Marlier, bringing UU values to local government. So all of the things I've said about Noah, don't worry, it's all going to be good, okay? I'm not going to say everything I know. But all the things I said about Noah during the opening are true, but it merely scratches the surface of Noah. He posts funny, inspirational videos online with Jeannie Sorg, our recorder of deeds, designed to highlight all of the great things about Montgomery County. Google them to see the real Noah. He's smart, funny, compassionate, and a joy to know. He loves his family, and he lives his UU principles in his daily life. He speaks truth to power, even when it won't benefit him, and in fact, may cause him political harm. That's why I call him courageous. He does the right thing, even when no one is looking. And he's too modest to say this, but as the prothonotary of Montgomery County, he is the highest office holding UU in the state of Pennsylvania. There's a lot more I could say about Noah, but with no further ado, please welcome Preston and my dear friend, Noah Marlier.
How's my microphone? We good? Fantastic. Well, this is quite an honor, quite an honor. My name is Noah Marlier, and the last time I was at a pulpit at a Unitarian church was my coming of age when I was 13 years old. I was thinking about this last night. I'm almost positive I talked about my desire to play for the Phillies one day. That did not work out. But I'm certainly a fan. And what did work out was my desire to serve, to be an elected official, to give back to my community. And I'm so very proud of that. And as Linda stated, I'm here to talk to you today about living out your values through that public service. Because as an elected official to a county of over 850,000 people, and I am very proud of the fact that as a Unitarian, a person who is spiritual, if not religious, I'm very proud of the fact that I represent so many people each and every single day. So as you see up here, the next slide, my Unitarian upbringing, I was raised in Jenkintown by my dad, Ed, and my mother, Yvonne. As good Unitarians, he was a lapsed Jew, and she was a lapsed Catholic. And of course, they found the Unitarian Church in Germantown, and they found a home. And that's where I was raised. Almost every Sunday, and we would go now in peace to our services for the children and our RE. And then I was raised through the Unitarian Church, and like I said, we had our coming of age. And then I kept going to the Unitarian Church all through high school, and again, as a good Unitarian, I now only go to church once in a while. So. But every Christmas service, we go back to Germantown Church with my mom. And when I say we, I mean my wife, Lindsay, and my two little boys, who are we're raising to be spiritual. So on Sundays or Saturdays, we go for walks, and we contemplate this world that we live in. So I was raised in Jenkintown, and I always wanted to serve. I wanted to either go into politics or be a teacher, and I've gotten to do both. I went to public school in Virginia for college, and studied to be a teacher, and I loved being a teacher after college. I taught U.S. history down in Virginia, which was quite a thing when you're teaching the Civil War to the Southern gentleman down there. I'll never forget the first time I said we're going to be studying the Civil War, and Matt Roy up in the right-hand corner of the classroom said, "Mr. Malia, don't you mean the wall of Northern aggression?" And I could not believe it, but he was dead serious. I'm just so proud of the fact that I was able to be a teacher. I went on into the Peace Corps in Malawi, Africa, and I was a teacher trainer for over 2 years. And that was quite an experience, living in a mud hut and then a house with a tin roof. First time it rained in Africa, I thought a freight train was coming through the house. It was the rain on the tin roof. Talk about a moment in time to find my spirituality, to look out into over Lake Malawi. I lived about 50 miles away from Lake Malawi, the third largest lake in Africa. And I just gaze off, and we had all the time in the world. I was there to serve, but there was so much quiet time to reflect. And then I met my wife my second year, which was an incredible thing. She was a Peace Corps volunteer coming in a year later. That was a blessing, obviously. And then I came home and I went to law school. I was a little bit older. I had taught for 5 years, went to law school. And when I came out of law school, I didn't want to get the big job downtown or be a district attorney in Philadelphia. I wanted to come home to my county and serve. And so just down Ridge Pike here in Norristown, I was an assistant district attorney for 4 years. And what an opportunity to get to know this county, to travel all around this county, and to feel like I was really helping people that needed help the most. And I'm going to keep coming back to that, helping people that need help the most. And I love that opportunity to be a district attorney. And then I went into the private sector for a few years, representing municipalities, zoning hearing boards, and towns. And it was really fun because I got to represent local elected officials who really wanted to make a difference in their community. I got to guide them through that legal process and answer their legal questions. And then I ran for office, which is what I always wanted to do. Now, I didn't expect to be prothonotary, right? That wasn't necessarily my dream. I'm not sure I knew what a prothonotary was until I became a lawyer. But what an opportunity to serve. In 2019, I ran. Running countywide is, it's something. You've got City Line Avenue and Lower Marion, and you got all the way out in Schwenksville and Gilbertsville out near Berks County, right? And everything in between. This is a very diverse county. And I loved running for office. It was a lot of fun. So prothonotary, what's really neat, if we can go to the next slide. So what's really neat about the prothonotary's office and being prothonotary is that people don't know what it is. It's just like being a Unitarian, right? You say, "I'm a Unitarian," and people go, "Huh, what? What's that?" And it's funny because when you're a Catholic or you're Jewish, people kind of know what that is, right? "Oh, I'm Catholic, okay." And that means they don't ask follow-up questions. But when you're a Unitarian, it's, "What the heck is a Unitarian?" And when you're the Montgomery County prothonotary, they go, "What the heck is a prothonotary?" And it's an opportunity to explain what the office is. If I was a congressperson, maybe they'd say, "Oh, okay, cool." But I get to explain what it is, and I get to go out into the community and teach people about this office that's really, really important. If you can go to the next slide, please. So, prothonotary's office. These are some of my employees up here. I have an incredible staff. I have 27 people that I oversee. And it's a lot, right? These folks are county employees. And my number one priority, by far, is those 27 people. I have been elected to make sure that the office runs well, effectively, efficiently, ethically. And those 27 folks, they're the engine, right? So what does the office do? Well, we accept and process the civil legal filings that go to the courts. Some people think, "Hey, you go before a judge, you file, you know, you have a lawsuit, and you get right in front of a judge." And that's not how it works. You have to file the legal papers first. So while the office is ministerial in nature, meaning we're not sitting there going, "Nope, we're not accepting this, we don't like this one," right? We don't do that. But it's still very important to run efficiently so that the courts run efficiently. So when I say we accept legal filings and we're not sitting there judging those legal filings, the content of them, we accept the election fraud cases. So when Donald Trump filed something in the Montgomery County, he filed it in the prothonotary's office. When the DNC responded, they filed in the prothonotary's office with my office. And we don't look at the content of these filings. We're looking to make sure they conform to what the courts need, and then we accept those legal filings. So some of the things that we take in, some of the kinds of filings. You have landlord-tenant eviction appeals. For your neighbor who's being evicted from their home, this is very, very important to be able to appeal that eviction to the Court of Common Pleas. Protection from abuse, and we'll talk about that in a minute. People that are being abused in relationships, domestic violence situations. For them to file for protection, they have to do it through my office. Custody, divorce, 9 out of 10 people go, and a prothonotary, an apothecary, a podiatrist, what is that? What is, and 1 out of 10 goes, I got divorced in your office. I was there all the time. I'm like, there you go. Different kinds of complaints. Getting suing somebody, any kind of complaint comes through my office. And then name changes, which we'll talk about in a moment as well. So this is some of the important things to me as prothonotary, some of my priorities as prothonotary: collaboration, empathy, equity. And I think these are my Unitarian values coming through my work. So you see up there, working with Montgomery County leadership to change job postings and the language in those job postings. So we've heard a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion over the last few years. And now it's become this loaded terminology. I don't care what you call it. It's just being fair, right? Being fair. So when I looked at the job postings for my positions, and it talked about a requirement of lifting 25 pounds, going, what the heck is that? We don't need to lift 25 pounds. Requirement, you must be able to stand for 8 hours. These were county job descriptions. So within a year, within the first year I was in office, I changed those job descriptions. And we put in language about being welcoming and inclusive and a place that you would want to come and work. And guess what? Within weeks, we started seeing more applications for more diverse applicants. And guess what they were doing? They were mirroring the language in their applications to those job descriptions. I want to work in an environment that's diverse and welcoming, right? And we started seeing more people of color applying for these positions, just simply because what I put out into the world about what my office was a reflection to them that they could apply, that we were casting a wider net. That's what diversity, equity, and inclusion means. We're nurturing relationships with schools and student organizations to create a pipeline into the courthouse for our jobs, to fill our jobs. So what I'm doing is going out into the community. So I'm gonna talk to you about helping people who need help the most and meeting them where they are. So we've gone to Methacton High School to go to the students and say, hey, listen, this is a job for you. And we've created a whole program for the Norristown schools where we will go to the schools with the district attorney, the public defender, the probation department, and other courthouse offices, and talk to the students about the jobs that they can get at the county level. These are jobs they don't need a college degree for. They can go right from Norristown High School into the courthouse. And guess what this does? It lowers the stigma for these kids of what the courthouse means. For a lot of them, it means they're getting arrested, right? It's law enforcement, it's scary. We go to them, to their high school, and say, it's not. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to make money, have a job with a good pension and healthcare, stable job, and we lower that stigma. That's another example of my values through the work. Increasing information accessibility by translating office literature into multiple languages. This is so very important. In our county, there are so many different languages spoken. But until just a few years ago, every piece of literature in my office was in English, maybe some of them in Spanish. Now we're translating into Korean, Creole, Russian. These are languages that are spoken all through this county and spoken by thousands of people. And they should have access to the courts, meet people where they are, right? talk to them in the language that they speak. And we're taking our civil viewer to every single public library in Montgomery County. Here's what that is. When you have a case, you want to look up that case, you can do it on the internet, but you can't look at the different documents without paying for them. You've always been able to come to my office in Norristown and look at them for free. We're taking that to every single public library. So Indian Valley, Norristown, Upper Perkiomen, we're taking that civil viewer. If you have a divorce case and you want to look at each filing, you're going to be able to do it now for free in that public library. This is about helping people who need help the most, because people who need help the most might not have internet in their home. They might have to go to the public library to have that assistance, have those resources. And we're going to be there for them. So you meet people where they are. We can go to the next slide, please. So meeting people where they are, helping people who need help the most, creating programs that make real, substantive, sustainable change. And I learned this in the Peace Corps. Doing some activity, something in the community is only good if it's going to last beyond you. When I left Malawi, Africa, I wanted the programs that I started to keep on going. Otherwise, what are we doing? It's a vanity project. It's for you, not for the community. So if my political career goes up in smoke and I am never a prothonotary again, and this is the last position I ever hold, my programs will go on. And that's what it's about, sustainable change. And I think that's a UU value, thinking about things beyond yourself and the impact they have on the world. So real quick, we do passport services. This is an ancillary service, because the post office do it, and so it's not like we're the only place. We're the only place you can file a legal paper. We're not the only place you can get passport assistance, right? But in the last 6 months, with what's going on in our world, this has become a big issue. Immigrant community needs these services. You have a mother and father who are not legal citizens, and children that are, and those children might get deported along with their parents. They need passports so that when they're deported to Colombia, they at least have that passport showing they're an American citizen. And this has become a big issue. We're working with our immigrant groups in Norristown specifically to help them with this issue. Figure out what their needs are, talk to them, not tell them how we can help, but ask them how we can help. Meet them where they are. And so we're doing those services, and I'm not publicizing this. We're keeping it a little under wraps, because I don't think this needs to be something that's way out there in the community. It needs to be in certain communities, targeted, helping these folks who need help the most. So I'm very proud of those services. And then the public libraries I went over, again, meeting people where they are. You can go to the next slide, please. So specifically, and I touched on this a few minutes ago, one of the things I really focus on is a certain kind of filing, and that's a protection from abuse. Now, you might be going, what's a protection from abuse, a PFA? You know it by a different name, restraining order. Now, the reason why they're called, you know them as restraining orders, some states call them protection from abuse, some call them restraining orders. California calls them restraining orders, so every time you see a movie or a TV show that's made in California, they call them restraining orders, right? But it's the same exact thing, protection from abuse. I am so proud of the work that we're doing on this issue. 30 to 50 people a week come into my office looking for a restraining order, looking for a protection from abuse. Now, domestic violence touches upon everyone. But more often than not, it's a woman. More often than not, she has children in tow. Sometimes she has bruises on her face or on her arms from being abused that morning or the night before, and she needs help. If we can go to the next slide, please. Two things I've done specifically to help these folks, and this is what you should expect from every single government official, an answer to what the heck do you do to help people. Two things I've specifically done. Number one, the online protection from abuse packet. When these people come in, they have to fill out a 25-page packet. That's a state thing. That's not something I can change. Okay, I would love to make it shorter, but I can't. It's a state packet. But what we've done is made it easier for them to fill that packet out, because now you can fill out that packet anywhere where you have internet access. You can fill it out at home, you could fill it out in the library. Anywhere where there's internet access, you can fill out that electric packet, and it will be waiting for you in the courthouse when you come in. And here's why that's so very important. Because when you come into the courthouse and it's sitting right there, that means you don't have to be in the courthouse as long. You're a woman who's being abused that morning, and you have two or three of your children. You might have to be in the courthouse for 4 hours instead of 6 hours, and that can make all the difference in the world. We are the second county in the Commonwealth to have this as an option, and I'm very proud of it. Go to the next slide. Our Hope Card program. This is a first of its kind here in Pennsylvania. Unbelievably proud of this. As prothonotary, I have to, by law, send the final protection from abuse order from the judge to everybody who's getting one and the person it's against. I have to send that order. And along with that order, we're now sending a Hope Card. What the Hope Card is a credit card-sized document. On one side is the important information from that order, and on the other side is resources: Laurel House, the Women's Center of Montgomery County, Victim Services Center of Montgomery County. So they have a little bit of hope right in their pocket at all times. I can tell you, as a district attorney prosecuting domestic violence cases, the victim, the survivor, never had their PFA order on them at all times. It's this big, it's this many pages maybe. They didn't carry it around with them, but they can carry around the Hope Card in their wallet or their purse. They see a police officer at the mall, and the person that they have a PFA against is behind them, stalking them. They can say, "Officer, I have a Hope Card. Please help me." This is a first of its kind in the Commonwealth, and it's spreading throughout the Commonwealth because we started it here in Montgomery County. I'm very, very proud of that. Our Name Change Clinic. Now, I've seen a lot of folks in the last 7 months moving away from this issue, support of our LGBTQ+ community, specifically our trans community. I will never move from that community because of my Unitarian values. My Unitarian values tell me that these are all folks in our community. These are folks that need help, that need support, that deserve our friendship, and I'll never move away from that community. But I want to take specific action. I'm not just going to talk about it. As an elected official, again, you should ask, "What are you doing?" Well, we're holding a name change clinic, and we've done it 3 years in a row. And this has been one of the most inspiring things I've done as an elected official. 20 or so attorneys volunteer 30 minutes to an hour to go through the name change packet with these folks, and we've had about 20 people each time participating. That's more than Philadelphia's name change clinic. I'm really, really proud of this. These folks, a lot of folks, when you see them come out of courts, they're not smiling, right? You're not smiling when you come out of a courthouse. When they change their name in front of a judge, these folks are smiling. Their name finally matches with their gender identity, with who they are, who their authentic self is, and they are grinning from ear to ear, and we've helped them with that. So coordinating this name change clinic has been something that I'm extremely proud of. So I can't thank you enough. To me, this is an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to you all. Thomas Paine, I want to thank Linda and Preston for bringing me here. I want to thank all of you for listening, for learning what a prothonotary is. Again, it's not something that's lost on me at all, that I do represent 850,000 or so people, and I am a Unitarian. And again, what that means to me is you wake up every morning, you ask yourself, "How can I help people who need help the most?" And I will meet them where they are to do it. That's what that means, and that's my Unitarian values. And I'll take any questions you might have. Yes?
folks on Zoom, if you have questions, you are welcome to either use the raise hand function so that we can call on you, or if you would prefer to put a message in chat, you may do that as well. We just want to make sure everyone has the opportunity to ask questions.
Man, that's a voice for radio right there. That's amazing. Jeez Louise, yes.
And the face to match.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I believe the example was if you were filing a divorce proceeding or something like that, and you mentioned the library. Mm-hmm. Is that the only place where you could view something like that, or is it as long as you have internet?
Yeah, so great question. So you can view, we have a great website. We're so 2025. And by the way, I'm also on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Now we went off Twitter. But I'm very proud of our social media as well, which Linda touched upon. So you can go online to our website and see our civil viewer, and you can see your docket. If you have a divorce, right, you can see all the different filings. To view each specific filing, you have to pay a little bit of money. But in the libraries, you can view them for free. Okay. There are certain filings, by the way, that you can't. There are just a couple for privacy reasons. Some of the more sensitive documents or cases, but most cases, you can view them for free at the libraries, each specific document. At home, you would have to pay for those documents, but you can view the docket itself to see, hey, I got an order came in, but to view it, you have to pay or go to the library and see it for free.
I'm going to go back and then come back.
Just a quick follow-up on that. You mentioned there were two counties. What's the other one besides Montgomery?
For the electronic filings?
Yes.
Allegheny County was the first. So okay. We'll give Pittsburgh some props.
Well, I'm going to bug Chester County.
I think you should.
Hi, thank you. You mentioned people being able to fill out forms online. Do you have any volunteer opportunities to help people who might be illiterate or have, you know, language, difficulties with the English language to do that?
So it's a little challenge. It's a great idea. I think it's a little challenging to go out to folks because if they're filling out a form online or drafting a complaint, for those lawyers in here or paralegals, you know this. First off, to offer that kind of assistance, you really should be a lawyer, right? And some of the translation services, like we have a Spanish speaker in my office, and she'll jump up to help people who speak Spanish as their first language, but I don't want to put that entirely on her. She wasn't hired to be a translator, right? But for volunteer opportunities, I think we do have some of like the Name Change Clinic and some other volunteer opportunities, but they have to be very specific to certain things, I think, just helping people out in the community is a little challenging. Maybe having some sort of, I think there are opportunities to be had there. I think, again, meeting people where they are and trying to help them fill out these documents, but there's over 150 kinds of filings, so I think we need to kind of hone it in. Like the Name Change Clinic, it's very specific. This kind of filing, we reach out to these folks in this community, and so it works. I think it could be a little challenging because of the sheer number of kinds of filings, but we'll continue to look into those opportunities.
Can you pinpoint a moment that inspired you to go to law school?
Oh, boy. I could pinpoint some opportunities that inspired me not to go into law school. I love the law. I love the law. I love being able to make a difference in the law. I think what inspired me to go to law school was I wanted to be the state rep in my community. I wanted to be the state rep to the 154th. And it's Jenkintown, Springfield, Cheltenham. And I thought, hey, to be a lawmaker, maybe I should go to law school, right? And I studied, I had a fellowship up in Eagleton Institute, which is in New Jersey, and went to the New Jersey Assembly for a year and was an intern there. So that's kind of the path I took. I never thought I would be a lawyer per se. I wanted to represent people and be an elected official. So a moment, I don't know about that. I will say my state rep inspired me growing up, seeing him go door to door, not when he was running, but all the time. We have some candidates in here I know that love going door to door. And that's an incredible thing because, again, it kind of jives with what I'm talking about. Meeting people where they are. You cannot represent people unless you go to their door, knock on it, and then listen to them, right? Don't tell them about what you believe, but listen to them. So I think that inspired me to go to law school, was that idea of being in public service and listening to people and helping.
I don't have a question so much as an observation. I was flashing back to something that this whole experience is reminding me of, and I just realized what it was. Across our back alley in Norristown, there was a little garden party for this guy who was running for council. His name was Josh Shapiro. I said, this guy really has the royal jelly. I don't know where he's going to go, but he's going to go beyond Norristown. I'm getting that same vibe from you, sir.
I mean, listen, some people say WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? I say WWJD, what would Josh do? I'd be afraid I'm going to get hit by lightning right now, but I'm in a Unitarian church, so I think I'm safe. That's extremely kind. I think Josh Shapiro, one of the things that inspires a lot of us here in Montgomery County, he was the county commissioner, right? He was our guy. And the thing I liked about Josh is that everyone knew he was going places. Everybody. They knew that he would look up at the horizon, right, and see what was up there. But he did the job he was in every single time. Some of these elected officials, you're going, yeah, I know, you want to run for Congress, I get it. Do the job now that you're in, right? And Josh Shapiro always did that. He was a state rep, he did the job. He did it really well for 8 years. He was a county commissioner, he completely changed that position. Prior to Josh Shapiro, county commissioner was where we put much older politicians. Go be a county commissioner and have some fun and see it. And he made it into something. When you're in a position, take that position, even if people can't pronounce it prothonotary, can't spell it prothonotary, don't know what it is, you all now do, right? And do something with it. And I think that's what people want. But I really appreciate your words. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. This has been wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I know I have glasses here somewhere, don't I? Well, okay, we'll wing it. Thank God. That's all right, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm going to go blind, literally. So I'm just going to do a quick wrap up. I know that, or at least I have heard, that there may have been folks who didn't want to come to today's service because they thought it was going to be political. I want you to rest assured that anything under our watch, under my watch, under this Board of Trustees' watch, will be involving our Unitarian Universalist principles and information, as you use, that we want to share with you. And as you can see today, it could have had a political tone had Noah made it that way, but it wasn't. It was really about informing you about, first of all, what a prothonotary does, and I think that's a very important job, and how people in positions of power can be guided by the right way and the right things to do instead of ways that would only benefit themselves. So, Noah, thank you so much for today's message. And now I think it's time for matters of the heart. I don't think we have a care team person here today. So, Tony, I don't want to ask you to do that again. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have Mike introduce Matters of the Heart. And for folks that are new to the UU Fellowship, this is a time when you can share a joy that's lifting you up, a sorrow that's bringing you down, or anything you want to share with our spiritual community, and Mike will tell you how to do that.
Thank you, Linda. For the folks who have joined us here in person today, if you do have something that you feel the need to share with the community, we have the microphone at the front, not the podium mic, the other mic, not to be confused with this mic back here, that's a different mic. And if you've joined us on Zoom today, you are equally welcome to share, and you may either use Zoom's raise hand feature, which I mentioned before. You will find that under reactions in your Zoom client. That will allow us to let you unmute you, allow you to share. And if you're feeling like you don't need to speak out loud, you can put a message in chat on Zoom and we will read those out to you. And the only thing I will ask, if you are here in person or on Zoom and would care to speak, make sure you please introduce yourself and remember that brevity is the soul of wit.
We'll wrap up Matters of the Heart with Spirit of Life, which is our traditional song. And then I'll do some closing words and announcements. As we gather our thoughts and prepare to leave this sacred space, let us take a moment to reflect on the responsibility we share in guiding our elected officials through the lens of our Unitarian Universalist principles. May we carry with us the understanding that each action we take, each word we speak, can influence the hearts and minds of those we entrust with leadership. Let us encourage our officials to honor the inherent worth and dignity of every individual, ensuring that every voice is heard and valued. As we extend our commitment to justice, may we advocate with compassion, reminding ourselves and those in power of the interconnected web of existence that binds us all. Let our calls for equity resonate beyond these walls, igniting a passion for change that promotes fairness and respect across our communities. Our closing song is hymn number 107, We're Building a New Way. Okay, and Linda is going to extinguish the chalice. All right, our closing hymn is We Are Building a New Way.
To be free.